Over the past few weeks, I've been sharing with you some of the ways that I've seen God at work through the members and among this First Baptist Church. We have seen God doing some really amazing things. Sometimes He's at work in some of the most unexpected ways. He gives us opportunities to share our faith, to reach out in Jesus' name in ways we didn't anticipate coming. Let me tell you about a couple of things that happened just this past Sunday that you need to know about. One of them took place after the service last Sunday. Now, you may remember last Sunday after church, I had to have a little brief meeting with our deacons, and we were gathered in the chapel, so I didn't get to stand at the door and meet people as they were coming out. But the rest of our staff did, and that's why Dr. Hopkins had an opportunity to meet three young ladies who had visited our church last Sunday morning. They came together even though they were from different places. One's from North Alabama, one's from East Alabama, one's from West Alabama. But as Dr. Hopkins talked to them and began to get their story, he discovered the thing that bound them together. Is these were three young mothers, all of whom had infants in the neonatal intensive care unit in one of our local hospitals. I can't say which one, but Brian, it was yours. And he had a chance to talk with them and visit with them and find out a little bit about their story. Well, the great thing is, and they all filled out visitor's cards. So after he had shared that with me Sunday afternoon, then Monday morning, we called. I got Cindy to call over to the hospital and find these ladies. And they said, yes, two of us are at the hospital today. Now, one had to be away at her job, but two were there. And so I sent the word, well, just tell them we're going to bring lunch to them today. And I had a chance Monday to ride over to the hospital and to bring lunch to these women whose children were so critically ill in the hospital. When I got to the hospital, I really thought I would meet them out in the lobby and give them the food after I'd run by and picked it up. No, I didn't cook it myself. I went by and picked some up. But I thought I'd meet them out in the lobby and share the food and have a chance to talk and visit a minute. But when I got there, I found out not only were they not in the lobby, they weren't answering the phone. And I talked to one of the nurses, and they said, well, that's because the mothers are with their children in the unit and their telephones won't work there. And then she made a couple of phone calls and got permission for me to go back into the neonatal intensive care, which meant that I got to go to the rooms where the mothers were with their children and carry them lunch, but more than that, to have an opportunity on behalf of this church to pray with those mothers and name their children my name. That was a wonderful, wonderful experience. God moved in the most unexpected way. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. Also, last Sunday, we were getting ready to come in here, and Chris and Angela Evans' friend Adam, and most of you have met Adam at one time or another. When he's around here, he comes and he worships. He's always with them. He's even helped to cook our chicken dinners a time or two. And he came in and he wanted to just share an experience. And he had been coming in last Sunday and wanted to be here in time for Sunday school, but had gotten turned around and missed an exit and found himself downtown. And there he encountered a man who needed help, not particularly financial help. He needed help to get to a hospital. And very much like the Good Samaritan a long time ago, Adam had picked this man up and carried him to an emergency room and helped him get squared away and to get the help he needed. The exciting thing was, he came in and he said to us, I am not at all sure that I did what I was supposed to do, but I did what I thought God wanted me to do. Isn't that neat? Unexpected opportunities to share your faith. Those situations that come your way, you didn't know they were coming, you didn't understand what God was doing, but the Lord knew all along. He was at work, and He was going to do something amazing in the lives of those who love Him. It reminds me and reminds us all that if we're just open, if we're just paying attention, then God opens doors. And I've shared two stories with you, but there are so many folks around here who could share stories of opportunities you've had in the last week or two to reach out and touch somebody's life in Jesus' name. You just have to be willing to expect the unexpected. Nobody expected anything unusual to happen that day at the temple either. That day that we just read together about a few moments ago. For the crippled man, it was a day just like any other. The Bible says from the day he was born, he had never been able to walk. He had been a cripple his entire life. And begging was the only way he had to survive. And so all of his life long, as soon as he was old enough to ask for alms, his family carried him and left him outside the gates to the temple where he could simply ask people to give him enough money to make it from today to tomorrow. Day after day, year after year, for as long as most people could remember, he had been sitting there. He was kind of one of the fixtures outside the temple. To him, that day was just another day. And the Bible also says this. It says Peter and John were among crowds of people who were hurrying into the temple. Since Pentecost, the Bible says the believers had made a habit of going to the temple, to Solomon's porch, and that's where they would gather together, and that's where they would worship Jesus in those early days. Peter and John were headed in. It was the ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon. It was the hour of prayer. They needed to get to where they were going so they could be with other believers, so they could pray and worship and seek the Lord. And all they had on their minds as they entered the temple was, it was time to be there. A crippled man at the gate, 2 apostles entering the temple, and none of them realized they were headed for a divine appointment. God had something in store for these people. Before the day was over, everything would change. Peter and John would see lives transformed by the gospel. The crippled man would experience the touch of God in a way he could never have imagined. Because God is always up to something unusual. He's always giving us opportunities, often unexpected, to share the love, the power, the grace, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Before the day was over, Peter and John would give this crippled man some gifts that he would carry for the rest of his life, and he would be transformed by the power of the gospel. And that's what I want us to talk about today, because that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be among those people who reach out to others and share the truth and the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ so that they can experience the power of the gospel in their own lives. That's what God is up to all the time. So let's jump in. Let's learn a few things about Peter and John and this man born a cripple. And the first thing you need to know is this. The first gift came when they encountered him. One of the things that's true is you have to be able to recognize when an opportunity to share Christ comes your way. You have to know when the opportunity has come. You've got to be paying attention so that you can see what God is up to. And for Peter and John, it came at the beautiful gate. Don't miss what was going on when they first encountered this crippled man. As they first walked up, the Bible says basically he was paying no attention to them. He wasn't really watching to see who was coming. After all, he was used to nobody paying any attention to him. You can imagine he sat there at the gate. Day after day, people rushed by. Time after time, as folks entered the temple, he would sit there and he would cry out, alms, alms, alms. Can you spare a little change? Can I have a little money? Do you have something that I can enjoy? And people, by and large, just walked right by him. Most of them never saw him. Most of them never heard his cries. Most of them were just on their way and about their business. It may be that that's why the Bible never even mentions this man's name, because he really hadn't needed a name for a very long time, because nobody had talked to him. Begging is a hard business. Only a few people will respond to your appeal. Over the years, I imagine this man learned to ignore others as well. Probably too many times he had looked at someone, hopefully, just hoping against hope that they would pay attention to what was going on in his life. And time after time, he'd been disappointed until finally, I imagine, he sat there and it became almost robotic for him. Alms, 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 alms. I'm not really looking at you. I'm not paying attention to you. If you asked me who walked by me today, I couldn't tell you because I quit paying attention to people a long time ago. The same thing could have been true of those apostles. There were so many ways the apostles could have responded to him. They could have absolutely neglected him, just part of the scenery as they passed by. They could have responded to him with simple pity. Look at that man. That's awful. Look what's happened to him. I wonder if that happened to him while he was little or if he's always been that way. The easiest way to respond would be just to do a little charity, hand him a few coins, and then move on your way. But the Holy Spirit had different ideas. And he brought that specific man to their attention. Understand, when they were walking to the temple, they really didn't have any intention to stop and encounter anybody. But as they walked into the temple, somehow God began to remove blinders from their eyes. And they saw this man for the first time. They began to talk to him. It started with a simple command. The Bible says, in fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." The man was startled. For the first time in a long time, he looked another human being eye to eye. And when he did, he discovered they were looking right at him. Can you imagine that? He's sitting there, alms, 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 alms. Look at me. Look at me. Are you talking to me? And he looked up, and here was this man looking at him, not just looking at him, but giving him all of his attention, every bit of it. And then he said something that was a little bit disappointing, I guess. He said, "I can't help you now, but I'm going to do something amazing in your life." God led them to transform a nobody into a somebody. They talked to him one-on-one. They treated him like a person of value. Most of all, they saw him. They saw him as a person who had real worth. In the midst of all of those crowds around him, they saw him as the one that Christ loved and wanted to touch that day. And that's what happens. That's what the Lord does when you share Christ faith to faith. He leads you to people that he wants to touch. He wants to touch through you. He can use you to turn nobodies into somebodies. He can use you to bring the love of Christ into one particular person's life in a particular way, at a particular time, with a particular action. I don't know what it will be. I don't know where it will be, when, or how. But I know this. If you're listening to what he's saying, he's pointing people out to you, and he's giving you that opportunity to share the love of Jesus. The Lord doesn't ask you to save everybody. He leads you to the people he wants you to personally touch. He doesn't expect you to be the one who touches every life, who shares the gospel with every person, but he is going to show you those people that he wants to touch through your life. Mother Teresa spent a lifetime caring for the hurting people of Calcutta, India. Someone asked her one time, "How can you do this day after day, month after month, year after year, when all around you are suffering people? Everywhere you look, there are sick and dying people, and you can't do anything about all of these people." They asked the question, "How can you go on knowing all of your effort will make no real difference?" You know what she said? She looked up from the person she was feeding and said, "To this one, it makes all the difference in the world. To this one." God doesn't call us to save the world. He calls us to love others one at a time. And God called Peter and John to pay attention to a man who had been born crippled, a man who had been neglected by the world, a man who thought everybody had forgotten him, a man who really wasn't even sure God cared about him. And to make him know he was special in God's sight. Then the apostles reached out with a second gift. It began with a simple confession. Silver and gold I do not have. They couldn't provide the alms he'd been crying out for. Basically, what Peter was saying was, if all you want is money, I just got to be honest with you, fella. I don't have any. And I can't help you there. He was willing to settle for a few coins, but God's plan was so much bigger. And Peter continued and he said, I can't give you silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. And then Peter acted. It says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Actually, the original language is much stronger. You know, we usually have this image of how Peter will reach down and gently he will help this man and he'll support him and he'll stand him to his feet and make sure that he's secure until he's not wobbly anymore. That's not what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Peter reached down with his right hand, he grabbed that man, and he jerked him to his feet. He jerked him to his feet so violently and so hard that if something hadn't happened, this man was going to fall on his face, and everybody in the temple was going to look at Peter and say, what are you doing to that crippled man? He reached down with no hesitation. He reached down not wondering if God was going to do something. He said, in the name of Jesus, and he reached him and snatched him to his feet. And guess what? God made him well. The Lord came through. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, the Bible says. And this was the second gift. They gave him what he needed and not what he wanted. What did he want? He just wanted a little money. What did he get? A transformed life. A chance to begin all over again, to do something he'd never done before. They gave him what he needed and not what he wanted. The Lord made him whole. Because that is the power of the gospel. It is God doing what only God can do. God doing something that nobody else in the world can do. Even today, most people are kind of like that beggar. If I said to you today, tell me what you want and God will give it to you, most folks would say, here's a material need in my life. Here's a financial need that I need met. Here's a relational need that I'm struggling with. Here's something I want God to give me. Here's that thing I want. And most of the time, that thing we ask for would be so much less than what God is able to provide. Meet my needs for just a little while. Touch my life in just a little bit. Do just a little to make sure that I'm a little more comfortable than I used to be. But the gospel reminds us that God offers every one of us a chance to receive eternal life. Not what you want, but what you need more than anything. Because let me tell you something, if you're here today and you're not a believer, there is nothing you need more than the eternal life that only Jesus Christ provides. Nothing. If you have everything else in the world and you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Not anything that's going to last. The Bible reminds us that he provides mercy through the cross. He gives us hope through the empty tomb and a way to heaven through the risen Savior. And he wants to use you and me to let people know God's plan is to give them so much more than they think they want. Colossians 1:27 describes it as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's what they were giving to that man. Just like Peter and John, God offers you the opportunity to meet people where they are and to bring them to the Savior. Well, now that the man could walk, where did he want to go first? And that's where the third gift comes in. The Bible says, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. When he got up, he knew exactly where he wanted to go. The first place he wanted to go was into the temple. It was the most thrilling moment of his life. Why was it so exciting? Because all of his life, the Bible says, he had been a beggar outside the beautiful gate. He had been a beggar at a gate leading into the temple. And all of his life, as he had sat there and begged, he also understood this. And never, never, not once in your life will you ever be allowed to walk inside, to go inside of the temple. Even if you found someone who would carry you, even if you had some sort of opportunity, you can't come into the temple because you are physically impaired. You are physically imperfect, and there's no room for people like you in the temple. There was an easy conception, and that easy conception was the reason you are the way you are is because either you sinned or your parents sinned, but you are full of sin, and God does not want you in his holy place. So day after day, year after year, he watched people go into that place where they were given access to God Almighty. And he was told, not for you. Not for you. God has no place for you. Is it any wonder that when he was made whole, the first place he wanted to go was into that place that he thought he would never see in his life? Not only that, because of what had been done for him in Jesus' name, he also recognized, it's the Lord who's giving me this opportunity to go and worship him in the temple. Not only did God want him, through Jesus, God welcomed him. Is it any wonder he was walking and leaping and praising God? Here's this man who was told, God doesn't want you. God doesn't want people like you. God has no place for you. God's turning you aside. You're a reject. And all of a sudden, somebody is saying, not only does God love you, not only does God heal you, God is welcoming you into his house. You come. You come. But the Bible describes where he went even more specifically. It says he went with Peter and John to Solomon's porch in the temple courtyard. So where did he go? Not only did he go into this temple, he went into the temple and immediately went to the place where people were worshiping Jesus. That was where they were gathering to pray and to worship God. He went into the temple to worship the Lord. And that was the third gift they gave him. They gave him the gift of a personal faith. This became his walk with Jesus. He took Peter and John at their word. They lifted him up in the name of Jesus. He knew who had made him whole. He trusted Jesus as his personal Lord. The Bible says people all over the temple rushed to where this commotion was going on because as he walked on, people knew who this was. That's that beggar. That's that guy. He's always been there. Look at him. What is he doing? How did he get well? What's going on here? And they rushed there to Solomon's porch and they wanted to know what's going on. As they saw a man they knew had been crippled walking and praising God. And Peter took advantage of the opportunity and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the crowd. And then he declared one of the most powerful testimonies you will ever hear. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. This name, Jesus, through faith in his name, Jesus, has made this man strong. Essentially, what Peter was saying was this: you can see the difference Christ has made in his life. Look, you know him, you've seen him. Look at the difference. He's not the person he was earlier today. He's a whole new person. And the one who changed his life can change your life as well. And in the end, that's what it means to live from faith to faith. It means knowing what Christ has done for you, sharing what Christ has done for you, and letting other people know, and he can do it for you. So this morning, I want you to know I am who I am because of Jesus. And this morning, if you're here and you're not a believer, you need to know that all around you are people who would say to you the very same thing. I am who I am because of Jesus. Because the day came in my life when he touched my life and he changed me completely. It may not have been as dramatic as crippled feet being made whole, but it was a crippled soul made strong. It was eternal life that was granted. And what he's done for me is what he can do for you. Because he's still changing lives today. That's really the message that we find from the story of Peter and John and that crippled man. He is still changing lives today. What he did then, he's still doing now. To anybody who turns to him in faith, to anybody who trusts him and follows him, he's changing lives today. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're lost and separated from him, you need to know he's not a God who's looking for a reason to reject you. He's the God who's welcoming you in through his Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, so you could have everlasting life. And all you got to do today is trust him. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to be singing an invitation hymn, and it'll be your opportunity to come to know Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'll be here at the front, and Rich will be here at the front. And either of us would love to introduce you to our Savior Jesus and to help you know how you can have eternal life through him. Or maybe you're here in this special place, this holy place, and you're recognizing, this is where God wants me to be. This is the place where I need to plant my membership. I need to be a part of this church and invest myself in what God is doing through First Baptist. And maybe you're here and his Holy Spirit's calling you and saying, you come be a part of First Baptist. Maybe you're here as a believer and you're recognizing that you've lost sight of what God can do through you, and it's time to renew a commitment to let him do everything he wants to do in your life. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you need to come, you come. Let's stand.